Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to an extremely awesome edition of the internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio, and Tottenham Hotspur are in the semifinals of the fucking Champions League. It's fucking amazing. Let's get started. No more preamble. Leading us off, we have my sidekick, Ben Daniels. Ben, how excited are you?
I'm like struggling still. I think my heart is still going like 100 miles an hour. I don't know how Spurs fans survived those 90 minutes. It was honestly like the most intense experience of my life.
Next up with us today, we have straight from Washington Heights. It is Robbie Schatz. Rob, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm like Ben. I'm exhausted. I'm coming down.
The adrenaline's left your body?
The adrenaline has left my body. I think my soul may have left my body briefly. I have the game on TV in the background.
Do you always have it on in the background now?
I will always have it on in the background from now on, and it is even more ludicrous than I remember.
Well, let's. I think there's an obvious question that we can start this with, and Ben, you alluded to it, so let's just start with it there. Is this the most exciting Spurs game that you've ever watched? Nay, is it the most exciting sports experience you've ever had?
I mean, I think it's hard to say that there's a football game that was more exhilarating than this. You know, I mean, the tie was balanced on a knife's edge, you know, at eight different points in the game. We were either going through or going home. And it switched back and forth so frequently, and it was just, you know, the play was exhilarating, and the goals were mostly incredible. I mean, I don't know how you could watch this game and be like, that wasn't the most exciting thing I've ever seen.
Well, there's just so much going on in this game, because, I mean, between all the tactical games going on, the risks Pochettino had to take, just the goals that were coming out, I've never watched a game that insane with that much on the line, especially to take Spurs to a place that, I don't know about you, I never thought we'd get to. Certainly when I became a Spurs fan, I didn't think I'd be seeing this team in the semifinals of the Champions League, but here we are.
Right. The closest thing to this, like that moment, was for me, I think, in 2010, when we beat City with that crowd shatter to qualify for the Champions League for the first time. But that didn't have nearly the drama. I mean, it did have like that same kind of existential dread of, oh my God, we fucked it up, we're not going to do it. And then it finally came through late. But all the other like really thrilling, we had that 3-2 against Arsenal, the 4-4 against Arsenal, a 4-4 against Chelsea. Like, there have been some really thrilling games with lots of goals and lots of twists and turns, but, like, I mean, the stakes on this were just unparalleled. Well, I mean, we've never been here.
There's no other game I've watched that had stakes quite like this. Maybe that, like you said, that City game in 09, 010 is the closest because Champions League rode on it, but, like, we've had a lot of really exhilarating games against City since they got bought by the Emirati. I mean, there's the game we just talked about. There's the game we just watched. The two games we just watched. There's that 3-1 with Bale scoring those two goals. There's
the Tom Huddleston masterclass.
Exactly. The Tom Huddleston game. I'm sorry. And then there's the that 2-1 in the year Leicester won the league with Lamela to Eriksen to win the game. I mean, I don't know.
We 6-1 in AVB's last season.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I somehow forgot about that one. But man, I don't know. Playing City's more fun than I sort of realized from when I detached myself from it. But this was nuts. This was incredibly insane.
No game out of all of the games that you guys listed comes close to just the sheer stupidity of everything that happened. Like the first 11 minutes, there were 4 goals.
Well, 4 goals, and they were all crazy goals. Like, City scored 2 worldies. Son just, like, I don't know. I'm not used to see. I know Guardiola's teams aren't the most defensively stout teams in the world, but those were breakdowns I'm not used to seeing. Like you were saying before we started recording, Ben, Laporte's had a pretty good season. And, I mean, he probably single-handedly kept them out of the Champions League.
Yeah, he was dog shit.
If he had made one of those mistakes and it had led to a goal, he would have been the GOAT.
Well, not the, well different kind of GOAT, but yeah.
He's a GOAT in my book.
Well, yeah. The good kind for us.
Well, I want to... We're bouncing around, but I want to talk about the end of that game, because
usually this happens... Usually this happens backwards for Spurs. If you told me the game was going to end like that without telling me which team was on which end of it, I would have bet every dollar I was ever going to earn that Spurs would have scored a goal to put him through, and then VAR pulls it back. And just I've seen a lot
but
of.
Actually, there was.
Go ahead.
It was not one but two VAR decisions that went in our favor, which is like that defies all luck and logic.
Especially for us. Especially for us.
Usually the universe balances it out. But and if we do get one, it is then immediately taken away.
Looking at it for just a second from a neutral's point of view, like I've seen some people being like, oh, VAR is taking the drama out of football and, you know, the exhilaration of the moment that a ball goes in there. I don't know what fucking game they were watching because, I mean, even putting aside that that worked out well for us, like that was incredibly... like dramatic
drama in that moment. Yeah.
Like they all celebrated, and then it slowly dawns on them that they're going to review it, and then it slowly dawns on City fans that it's not going to stand, and the game's going to be over. It's incredibly dramatic. It's great.
Well, I will say it was a lot. Go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say it was a play where you didn't think it was going to get reviewed and come back.
Get no,
back immediately. Like you thought that was decisive, and that was it.
But they were entirely, they were 1,000,000% correct. I mean, he was offside.
Yeah, he cheated things, and didn't get away with it.
Yeah. It's like, I will say, having, you know, been to games in MLS where VAR is employed, it's a lot more interesting when you're on TV and you can hear them talk about it and you can kind of see the replays and, you know, follow along what the actual review process looks like. And you're kind of engaged in the drama. When you're in a stadium and it happens, you're just fucking confused and angry because you just have no idea. You know, you're celebrating a goal, and then all of a sudden, you know, he holds his hand to his ear, he draws a box in the air, and then he goes and stares at a little box for a little while, and then he comes back and is like, actually, you're not happy anymore. And, like, you have no idea why. You don't know what the call was, why it happened. You don't get to see it again to be like, oh, yeah, fair play, that was right. You're just like... just fucked. It's an awful feeling.
You know what the end reminds me of? It reminds me of the year that City beat United for the title, and United finished their game first and thought that they had won the league, and then it slowly filtered in that actually City had won the league, and the, yes, and the look on their faces was just utter shock and disbelief. That's what it looked like, and it was amazing.
Well, Kyle Walker wasn't wrong. That was definitely fun. I don't know. I'm going to treasure those memories of, like, Guardiola sinking to his knees on the sidelines.
Hold on. I don't know what Kyle Walker does for fun, but that's not my idea of fun.
I still am processing this game, and I don't know. I've read some of our co-writers and friends, like, in our writer's room saying, like, they had trouble sleeping that night, and I definitely... felt that way. I was like tearing up in my office. Like it's this. Sports are insane. They're dumb. They're super dumb.
Yeah, I definitely cried when it happened. Like just in like sheer relief. It was like, well, I just couldn't believe it, and like the tears started leaking out.
Ben, you're the longest tenured Spurs fan on this podcast, which too I'm sure makes some British listeners grinding their teeth right now. But what did this mean to you? Tottenham Hotspur are in the semifinals of the Champions League and have at least a puncher's chance of getting through to the final. We're not completely overmatched, although I want to make it very clear I am not counting Ajax out by a long shot, but we have a real shot at making the Champions League final. Like, what does this mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, Ajax definitely whipped the shit out of Juventus, who...
And Real Madrid.
If you don't remember last season against Juventus, you know that is not the easiest matchup. Yeah, it's hard to put into words because, you know, it talks about, like, you know, trophies and clear, like, tangible proof of success. And, you know, getting to a semifinal is not that. It's like, you know, it's the kind of thing we'll probably be made fun of for celebrating because, you know, act like you've been here before. You know, whatever.
We haven't been here before.
Right. And, like, I don't know, like, it's just so unexpected and so unbelievable. You know, like, I think, honestly, like, looking back at some of, like, the big moments in Spurs history, you know, the Carling Cup win was, like, obviously fantastic, but beating Arsenal 5-1 in the semifinal was a more thrilling experience and a more emotionally rewarding experience, even though there was nothing on the line other than the chance to possibly win a trophy, you know? Like, the trophy itself was great, and, like, seeing them lift that thing was amazing, but, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for those just huge moments, like last night, that, you know, even though there's nothing that you get, you know, to hold and put in a trophy cabinet afterwards, it's what the game's all about. It's why you're a fan.
And sorry, keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You know, I'm just sort of rambling. You know, it's for a club like Spurs to be in the semifinals of the Champions League when, you know, I don't know, did we get to a semifinal of a Europa League in all of our years banging our head against that wall? I don't know. You hope we're going to get there. You see what the club's building and you see the progress we're making year on out. And you think, yeah, like maybe a Champions League final or semifinal, like, could happen, but, like, it keeps not happening. I don't know. I'm not esteemed.
I think what makes this even more sweet is, like, we didn't, like, waltz through some cupcake set of matches to get here. I mean, you know, we beat Dortmund. We beat City. We beat Pep Guardiola's City. We beat maybe one of the best sides in English club history. I don't know. I wasn't around for that Carling Cup run, but I think one of the things we've talked about that made it so sweet was, you know, we beat all these good teams to get it. We didn't, like, luck into a final against Stoke City. Not that that wouldn't have had some value and be something that I want to watch, but, you know, it's not like we just had an easy Champions League draw.
We almost didn't get out of the group stage.
No, we didn't.
Remember when we needed a draw at the Camp Nou and Inter needed to enter?
And we
it was like the 80th minute of the game. Like, we were like, well, that's it.
And these things happened. This is why sports is so ridiculous and amazing. This has been the dumbest season, right? I mean, this is arguably Pochettino's worst team.
I was about to say, not his worst year, but team.
No, his worst team since his first season. And that season was a disaster that had some pretty amazing moments. But this isn't the best Tottenham team. Like, we've lost to Burnley this year.
I don't know about you guys,
and
but
Watford.
There's a lot of teams. I feel like in American sports, at least, there's a lot of, like, teams you see where, like, they had this amazing team 1 year. The one I always come back to is the 04 Cardinals, where they were just, like, they destroyed all that went before them that year. They were the best team in baseball, and then they lose that Red Sox team in the World Series. And the next year, they have a team that barely squeaks in the playoffs, and then somehow that's the Cardinals team that wins a World Series. There's always this, I feel like there's always a sense of, like, the best team, the best iteration of that team isn't the one to win the big one. It's always, like, another team that just everything sort of goes their way and they get lucky enough that manage to do it.
I mean,
the story of Tottenham's last couple of seasons. The last couple of seasons were probably much better Tottenham teams and they didn't win shit.
I will say, if we pull this off and actually win the fucking Champions League, I'm definitely not counting those chickens.
Ben, you're definitely going to get divorced if that happens. Like sooner or later, that's going to lead to a divorce.
especially if I hope Arsenal, like, lose the Europa League final, like, the week before. But, like, the real blueprint for this is that Roberto Di Matteo Chelsea team that was, like, so far away from being anywhere near the best Chelsea sides of the recent era.
That's another great example of that.
You know, they were dead and buried against Napoli, and they came back with, like, a 4-goal win in the second leg to sneak through, and they ended up winning the thing, you know, against all odds with a dumb team playing far below their best. You know, they finished sixth in the league that year.
But I think it's worth pointing out. I think it's worth pointing out. I think even in this game, Spurs have been playing some pretty enterprising football against some pretty good teams in the Champions League this year. And I think really until Sissoko got hurt, which
boy, let's send this time machine, this podcast back in a time machine so people could hear that. I think we were playing fairly on our front foot, or at least fairly progressive football given the, you know, sort of difference in squads and what we were dealing with. And I think we really only started playing a rear guard action after we sort of lost our midfield. And it's amazing that we held on as long as we did.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we conceded 2 goals in the first 10 minutes.
We did, but those weren't like, I don't know.
Third goal shortly thereafter.
Yes, we only conceded 2 goals in the next 80 minutes.
But we were causing City problems until our midfield sort of disintegrated with, you know, and he had to make the decision of, do I want to put on Harry or Oliver Skip, who's probably going to be incredibly out of his depth, or do I want to throw on Llorente? And guess what? It worked out.
We could have put on Davinson Sanchez.
Okay, yeah, he could have done that too.
It worked out.
You know, let's take a moment to praise. I come here to praise Fernando Llorente. Generally a waste of space as a Tottenham player. Scored 2 extremely important goals, and when you combine that with the fact that he tried to fight the entire West Ham team by himself once, I think he is well worth whatever we've paid for him. God bless you, Fernando Llorente. Good for him. That guy went from playing on fucking Swansea to scoring crucial goals that put his team through to the semifinals of the motherfucking Champions League. It is good for Fernando. I feel very good for Fernando Llorente.
Like, he's very bad, and yet he scored so many crucial goals.
Well, he's finally doing the things that we wanted him to do. Like, hey, go throw your ass around in the other team's box and maybe hit one in the goal. Like,
go throw your elbow around in the other team's box.
Go palm that ball.
Can we talk about why on the corner that he scored the goal, he jumped up so that he could hit it with his hand or his hip?
It took a deflection before that, didn't it?
No.
Well, I don't know. He's probably trying to just block another guy out.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it worked.
It really did. I mean, think about it. He basically killed off the Dortmund leg with that goal, the second game of Dortmund. He basically made that a foregone conclusion. And then he just put us through to the semifinals. It's just on that. Hell of a year. Hell of a year, Fernando.
Especially after, like, getting that header shortly before he scored, that Ederson saved. It was like, you know, you fucking donkey. You're on there for one reason. Yep. That's to get your big, dumb, beautiful head on things. And, you know, that looked like our chance. And
maybe that's when he realized that he had to use a different body part.
That's right.
Going to get it done.
But what's crazy is, what was that, 20 minutes apart, 10 minutes apart? I don't know. But he went from, like you said, everyone remembers him as this fucking donkey. Why the fuck did we spend money on him? I'll bet Fernando Llorente never has to buy a beer in North London for the rest of his life. Like, everyone, regardless of what happens from here on out, everyone's going to have very fond memories of Fernando at Tottenham after this. Like, we're all going to be delighted to see him.
If you would have told me that, like, before the season, that Moussa Sissoko and Fernando Llorente would be, like, low-key club legends.
They both are. Both of those guys are going to be cult figures. It's great.
And it just goes back to how utterly stupid and crazy this season has been.
And I think it's Pochettino's best job as a coach. I mean, the fact that he is just, like, pulling these formations and game plans just out of his ass when everyone's going down around him, it's just, I mean, I'm glad Manchester United and Real Madrid made some... Well, Real Madrid maybe didn't make a poor decision, but I'm glad Manchester United made a really poor decision on hiring their head coach. I mean...
God, I mean, to do this in a season where we signed nobody, we've had crazy injury luck, our stadium was delayed like an extra 15 months, you know, however long it's been. It's just like, how is this man making this happen? Like...
The guy's a legend. Guy is like magic. One of the best. I mean, we say this, and I think when Spurs fans and certain journalists say this, a lot of other teams' fans think it as hyperbole, but like, he is easily one of the best managers in the world right now. You know, I don't know who else I'd put ahead of him. Like, Pep? I mean, is there anyone else you put ahead of him?
Not anymore.
Yeah, suck it, Pep.
Jog on, Pep.
Yeah, maybe get to a Champions League semifinal in the last 5 years. How about that, Pep? I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's anybody, like I said, maybe aside from Guardiola, I don't know if there's anybody else in the world I'd rather have than Pochettino right now. And I think as a neutral, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with an argument. I mean, no one wants fucking Mourinho anywhere near their team. You know, I think Zidane's, like, I don't know how much you divorce him from Real Madrid's budget. Obviously, he's a good manager, but I don't know. I'm hard pressed to come up with anybody else I'd take over Pochettino right now.
Yeah, I mean, people would say Jurgen Klopp, particularly Liverpool fans.
Oh yeah, maybe Klopp, but fuck him. He hasn't had any injury problems this year.
Dan Lovren has been out for a while.
Oh, fuck them.
That's why they might win the league.
Fuck you. But this game was, I don't know, for me it just felt so, like such a, you know, you as Americans, we pick our team. Generally, we're not born with a connection to it like a lot of our British friends. Generally, you are, but you and Ben are, I suppose. But, you know, you pick your team. It's, you know, if I'm going to be honest with myself, you know, I picked Tottenham because they look like a fun attacking team that wouldn't brand me as a front runner and was still big enough to, like, punch a big team in the face and get away with it. And, you know, just to sort of watch the sort of growth of the team just over the period I've been a fan, let alone I can't imagine what it's like if you were, you know, watching this team when Alan Sugar owned them or, you know, suffering through some of the shitty years of the 90s or the 80s. But, you know, it's just to watch the way this team has gone from, like, basically Everton to they're in the semifinals of Champions League with one of the three best coaches in the world managing them. It's great. I love it. And it's so much fun, and it makes me feel so good. And I'm sorry, I don't have anything more eloquent to say about it, but it's just so much fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised this podcast isn't just sort of wordless screaming. But I think if we recorded it last night, it probably would have been.
I had a doctor's appointment right after work, right after the game was over. And my doctor was completely thrown by what a good mood I was in. Just completely thrown by. Like, they, you know, just that, like, what, did you get laid and win the lottery in the last hour? What happened? And it's just, no, did my team's in the semifinals.
Yes, champions. I did.
It's great.
So, man of the match?
It's Son. It's gotta be Son, right?
You could make an argument for Hugo.
You had an impressive game.
Like, it's not often that a guy concedes four goals and you talk about what an amazing goalkeeping performance he is. Right. I also feel like he had a chance on any of them. Say that, but, right. You know, like, maybe he could have done better on Aguero's goal on his near post. But, I mean, he saved our ass over the last 60 minutes of that game.
I maintain, aside from that Liverpool game, this dude has had a hell of a second half of the year. And, I mean, he's played really well. Really, really well. Both legs he saved our ass. Who knows what happens if Aguero scores that penalty in the first leg?
We are not through to the semifinals of champions.
At a minimum, that game probably turns into a dump truck. A dump trucking. I mean, it's just... Oh. Yeah, Hugo was great. Everybody was great, except for Trippier. Trippier sucks. But even Trippier did the whole shushing thing that got caught on camera. And that was great. So, like, there's something, you can say something nice about every player.
Except Eric.
Yeah.
No. Erickson
gave us that moment of VAR that I will treasure forever. So, yes, it was a terrible back pass, and why the fuck are you not just booting the hell out of the ball? But if it wasn't for Christian Erickson, we wouldn't have gotten to watch Pep's heart break into a million pieces.
I think there's one player, I don't know if I call him man of the match, but I think it's worth talking about, and that's Danny Rose, who has been with this team, it's been what? I think this week it's been 9 years since he scored that goal against Arsenal. He's not a youth team player with Spurs, but he might as well be because he's been here for so long. That guy has been through almost sort of like Spurs' ascension through the Champions League. He's been there for every step of it. He has been misused in different roles. He has become a left back. He got a coach who finally taught him how to play left back several years later. He has fallen out of favor with that coach and then regained favor with that coach. He has dealt with racial abuse. He has gotten into England teams. Like, and he is not, he never, very rarely does he ever look like one of the best players in England, but he has been a true servant to Tottenham Hotspur. He is one of my favorite players. He has been there for almost the entire time I've been a Spurs fan. And I don't know what the future holds for him. I'm actually more confident he's going to be around now, but I am very, very happy that he was a significant part of that night because he played a crucial role in shutting down many of City's attacks in both legs. And I am very happy that both he has worked his way out of that doghouse and that he was a part of that night because Danny's a hell of a player. And he, if anyone deserved to be on a Tottenham team that made it to the semifinals, it's him.
I think it's funny that after that like long slog to turn him into an actually great left back, he ended the game as a left winger.
That might have more to do with our triage unit on the field than any sort of tactical ideas.
He's been
good
as a winger this season. He's played there twice now.
better than him as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, let's not try that again, folks.
I do think they should absolutely put him stiff-arming Fernandinho on a poster.
Put it on a poster. Every member of this team should tattoo it on their forehead.
Build a fucking statue outside
the stadium. Yes. Like, just have him. And you could even have, like, fuck VAR written on the back of Fernandinho's jersey. Another great quote after this game, by the way. You're right. They should build that statue. Like, it's, oh, incredible.
So good.
I can't remember. We've recorded some podcasts after some pretty, like, good performances. I've been pretty happy. I can't remember the last time I've been this happy talking about Spurs.
Never.
I've got like a dumb smile on my face all day. It's great.
Because honestly, did anyone really think that that was going to happen? And
I thought the game would look a lot like that. I just didn't think we would win it.
But nobody thought it was going to happen like that.
I mean, I thought City was going to, like, beat the brakes off of us. I didn't think we were going to score a bunch of goals, too, but...
Yeah, they did beat the brakes off of us, and somehow it still worked out.
I mean, if you had told me before the game Man City scored 4 goals, I would have thought we were dead and buried. And if you had told me Spurs scored 3 goals, I thought it would have been a very comfortable, breezy afternoon. And instead, it was both of those things, and it was the best and worst 2 hours of my life.
It's great once it's over, not so great while you're living it.
It was awful to watch that,
but it's so much fun in retrospect. Like, this game's gonna be great because you'll just watch like De Bruyne score a goal. You'll be like, oh yeah, well, watch this. Like, we're just gonna laugh about it from now on. We won't be mad. We'll think it's funny.
Both ends of that game, the first goal in the 3rd minute, I was like, okay, I will make peace with this. This is how it's going to be. And then when it looked like City had scored and the game was over and it was just like the Liverpool game, I was like, yeah, of course. Like, this is how this had to end, right? And no, for once.
Not today, Satan. Not today.
Yeah, I kind of expected us to be... Like, I was watching slightly behind, and I remember going... Watching the goal happened and then seeing the replay and noticing that Aguero was offsides and logging back into the writer's room to scream that it was offsides only to find out that it was under review by VAR. But like, I definitely expected this to be like the kind of thing that like the Pedro Mendes goal or the Nani goal against when we were playing United a few years ago, just like one of these like things that haunt us forever, this unjust goal that ruined our life. And
not today, Satan.
Exact opposite.
Not today.
We have exorcised the demons.
What I love about that is City fans are obviously creating a cottage industry of the Llorente goal, and why wasn't that disallowed? Also, part of the rules, you are allowed to score a hand goal if it's a handball if it's accidental this year. Probably will get changed next year, but it is within the rules. But the best thing about that VAR review is it's right. It's not like they got fucking jobs. He is definitely offside, and fuck you.
You think that City fans are going to join forces with Liverpool fans and sort of borrow their technology to run Zapruder film analysis of Tottenham goals against them?
Probably.
The saddest thing was that Lamella didn't get to do something.
Oh, that would have been. If the game came down to like Eric Lamella being vindicated on a VAR, that would have been my dream. Really, really just my dream. After Sissoko scoring the winner, that would have been my dream.
If we win the Champions League, it will be because we're playing Liverpool in the final and Lamella shithouses them in some hilarious way.
That would be incredible.
That's really the only way for this all to end. In the same kind of cosmically stupid manner that it has gotten here so far.
Or Sissoko scoring a stoppage time goal that wins it for us. That would be... Wow, that would be incredibly stupid. Man, I can't. Guys, we're in the semifinals of the Champions League. We're going to play Ajax in the semifinals of the Champions League. This is fucking insane.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much because it's like you see Ajax as the other team and you're like, we can do this. We really should get to the final.
I live through the Leicester season. I'm not thinking that.
I know, but like I hate feeling like that. You know, when we drew Man City, we were like, we're probably fucked, but hey, if we win, it's a bonus.
I had
no expectations until we won that first leg, and then even then, I was like, oh, we're probably gonna get fucked. and I just hate like just looking at this fixture, on the schedule, and just going, yeah, we can do this. I don't like that feeling as a Spurs fan.
Well, it's especially galling too because we're not gonna have Son for it's the first leg, not the second leg, right?
Right, which is at home. Right.
So we're gonna be running Lucas and Llorente and oh Jesus, we're gonna be running like a much beefier version of Defoe and Crouch.
God,
I mean, clearly the goal is like survive the first leg, but I just hope Winks and Sissoko and all of our threadbare midfielders can make it through. It's just crazy because your mind starts racing and you're like, it's like you said, Ben, you think of what Chelsea did in 2012 where you're just like, well, what if we do that? What if we, like, obviously Ajax is very good and we're a little depleted and then we're going to have to play Liverpool or Barcelona, both of which are very tough out. And you just start thinking about like, well, what if everything keeps going our way? What if, you know, that we just find a way, and it's hard to imagine because it's supposed to be what Leicester fans felt like. Like, well, what if it all just goes the way we need it to go?
And, team of destiny.
I mean, maybe. I mean,
team of destiny, just like Leicester, except less racist.
I can't get over it. It's wonderful.
I want it so much. I have never wanted anything more in my life.
I agree with you. I want this. I want this. I want this so bad.
It's like, oh, really? You want the biggest trophy in football? Oh, gee, really, really impressive standards you've set for yourself here. But like, yeah, everybody wants a Champions League, but like, I fucking want it.
Can you imagine what any conversation you have with an Arsenal fan will be like? That like any time for the rest of your life after, if that ever happened, like.
Well, just, for Ben, that's going to be interesting.
I know, but like, I, your wife's brother is the real big Arsenal fan, right, Ben? Like, he's the one you'd really, like, ram it up his ass, right? Like, that's...
I would, but I will say, he texted me after the game and was, like, kind. And,
oh,
like,
I would have gone into a hole if I were him, but...
Kind in a patronizing way, or... Genuinely kind.
No, genuinely, like, man, I can't imagine living through that. Congratulations. Like,
I don't know. If I was an Arsenal fan, I would, I mean, whatever. Are they in the semifinals or the quarterfinals? I can't. Sorry, guys. We've been in the Europa League in a few years. I kind of forgot how it worked.
I had another Arsenal fan text me and say, just watch the highlights. Feel like I need to check in and make sure you're alive in your heart as well. So, you know. All positive things.
I
would not be as kind, if the shoe was on the other foot.
I just feel like this would be such a nightmare. Like, cause what I was saying, what we said earlier, this is not something we all thought was terribly realistic. And Spurs are three matches away from maybe making it happen. That's insane. That's crazy. And, like, I don't know, this is like your worst nightmare if you're an Arsenal fan in a lot of ways.
Oh my God. I just realized I'm going to see Arsenal play Roma in a friendly this summer.
You're definitely... No, you know what? No. We'll have that conversation when we can have that conversation.
Oh, man.
Your commemorative Champions League.
Ben, just out of curiosity, do you have cardboard and tinfoil and scissors? Just out of curiosity.
I have all these things.
Okay, just checking.
I know, I'm getting way ahead of myself.
We are getting so ahead of ourselves. But no, but it's not. Like, this is like buying a lottery ticket. Now. We're in the semifinals of the Champions League. That's a huge scalp to put on our wall. It's like half the fun of buying a lottery ticket is thinking what you would do with that money. Half the fun of being here is what happens if we actually win it.
You're way past the happy to be here phase.
Oh, yeah. I am. So are there any, like, knock-on effects of this, do you think?
Like, okay, so let's, regardless of whether we beat Ajax, we're in the semifinals of Champions League. Does this help our ability to, like, recruit players or, like, bolster the team, maybe re-sign some guys? I mean, does this help, or our team's going to look at this like, oh, well, fucking Schalke was in a Champions League semifinal a few years ago. How'd that fucking do anything for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think being in the semifinal is not a huge draw. You know, again, if we finish in the top four, if we start actually paying money for players,
that's,
you know,
fucking calm down. I mean, the money we made being in the semifinals probably going to help with the other thing.
Yeah,
but
that's the part that'll help, is having a little bit extra cash.
I think we worked it out today, just if, assuming we don't make it any further than the semifinal, Spurs will have gotten, not counting gate receipts or anything like that, we'll have made something like 115 million euros just out of being in the Champions League this year, which is not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question again, like, again, we, you know, we were gonna sign Eden Hazard that Chelsea Champions League year until Chelsea won the Champions League and knocked us out of the Champions League, and then he went to Chelsea instead. And, you know, maybe we wouldn't have signed him, but, like, it was a real possibility. And I think, at the very least, it'll give us that opportunity for guys to maybe not write us off so quickly.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, Tottenham, like, semifinals, best coach in the world. Like, okay, like, you know, maybe Ndombele will not want to go play with a loser like Pep Guardiola and want to go play for a winner like Mauricio Pochettino.
That's still
maybe.
Still about salary, though.
I maybe he just values winning, Rob. You know, some people in this game still value, you know, achievements like silverware and semifinals.
Well, if I were Ndombele, I would think, well, Lightning's not going to strike twice. So, they already won their one. What's the point in going there? I missed it. Yeah. I already missed
Isn't
the window.
Isn't that how statistics works?
Exactly. That's exactly how statistics work.
You can't do it again.
See, we don't even need Michael back, right? We got Rob to cover
this
now.
It's called double jeopardy, I think, right?
It's the Jermaine Defoe school of statistics where, as he famously told Harry Kane, you know, if you take a shot and miss, that's fine. It just means your next shot is more likely to
come. You know what? That's an extremely dumb thing. I am also fine with the striker believing that.
Like, Harry Kane has clearly internalized that mentality.
It's also, it's turns like, out it's really easy to convince Harry Kane to believe things, so.
Yeah, just tell that to the frictionless pajamas he bought from Tom Brady. Yeah, I guess we could talk about the next few games for Spurs. Obviously, this changes our calculus a little bit in terms of how we have to move our guys around. I do want to talk about, we have to play Manchester City in Manchester again, but this time in the league this weekend. They're going to put such a pasting on us, it won't be funny. But I will actually not be mad. I will actually, for real, think it's funny when they beat the living shit out of us this weekend because we knocked their asses out of the Champions League.
Like, there's no amount of goals they could score that would stop being funny. They could be this 30-0, and yes. I would still be laughing my
Spurs players. Spurs players could literally all just walk out on the pitch with, like, chairs and take a seat and read a paper for 90 minutes, and I would still think it's really fucking funny. Like, they can't ruin my mood.
If we still had a 10-point cushion over Arsenal, I would actually, like, petition the club to make that happen.
So, I mean,
we budgeted not winning this game anyway. And
well, exactly.
Still,
I think every
think we can make the top four. So,
yeah, we
it.
Can
Who
afford
cares?
To lose this in one other game, or we could afford to drop 6 points for the rest of the year and still finish top four, basically. And that's assuming no
what
one
if
else.
What if we beat
four.
City this weekend?
You mean what if we beat them again?
Yeah.
What if they're so demoralized they lose to us?
Or just just filled with rage that they're just unable to concentrate.
Well, do you think, like, how are we going to approach this game? Because I think now when you look at it, we have a run in against, so we have to win a bunch of games, which, to be fair, most of them are at home and most of them are winnable, that we need to win to make Champions League next year. And we have I don't know if you guys knew this, but we're in the semifinals of the Champions League in a few weeks, and, like, the fucking Dutch League is taking a break so Ajax can get well-rested for it. But, I mean, what do you do with this game? Son's actually gotten a little bit of rest. Dele's had a little bit of rest. The guys who aren't injured are coming off of, like, a month of being rested. So there's some level of, you know, that going on. My guess is we're not going to see anybody in this game who's, like, got an injury problem, so I wouldn't be shocked if Dele's set. But I also can't see Poch just throwing in the towel on this one. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on what this is going to look like?
Hey, Greg. You don't have to finish in the top four if you win the Champions League.
That's a great point.
point.
Just saying.
That's a great point. That's definitely a that's definitely a basket we should put all of our eggs.
Honestly, if I'm Spurs, I would play an entire youth team.
I agree with that.
If the shoe was on the other foot and we had just gotten knocked out by Man City, you know Eric Dyer would spend 90 minutes trying to injure as many players as possible just out of spite. And Man City has already done a good job banging up our team without trying too hard. You know, we lost Kane, we lost Dele, we lost Sissoko. Like, you know, I would be out for blood if I was Man City and, like, be happy to be put in shitty tackles and, you know, stick the boot in a little bit because fuck you. You know, I would, and if it was Spurs, I think there's no question that we'd be doing that. So, I mean, we just can't afford a single other injury.
No, we can't. And so. I think they're going to rest a lot of guys. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because, like, Son's been fairly rested recently. You could probably get away with playing him. I mean, the game we played
and he Brighton. Misses the first game anyway, so.
Yeah, and we play Brighton, but we play Brighton on Tuesday. And frankly, I mean, in theory, we should be able to do that. I mean, we whipped the shit out of Huddersfield with a B team. We should be able to do the same to a team like Brighton, but, you know, if I'm Spurs, I'm kind of, like, I just want to make sure that I beat Brighton. You know, you win the games you're supposed to win. I mean, West Ham's probably the trickiest game we have left on our schedule, and we still should win that one, so.
We have to play Everton, Bournemouth away.
Everton's the end of the year, though, so I'm writing that one off. I mean, maybe I shouldn't, but.
Yes, Spurs have never bloated on the last day of the season.
That's a good point. Great point. Ugh.
Man, want to feel old? Huddersfield was only this past weekend.
Yeah, that was a really comprehensive game. For once, I feel like I've been wanting to see that game. I've been needing to see us make the semifinals of Champions League. Closely behind that, I've wanted to see Spurs field a B team and actually get a comfortable win out of it. And I don't think I've ever seen that under any coach of any Spurs team I've ever watched. We always put all our starters in, and when we do actually play a B team, we get our asses kicked or at least barely win. So it was really nice to see that, actually.
All it took was one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Who wasn't even trying. Brighton will at least be trying, but that shouldn't matter. Anyway, I would rest a bunch of guys so we could whip the shit out of Brighton, but I trust Pochettino. Well, you get away with what he just got away with, and, you know, Mauricio, take the wheel.
The game is at home, right?
We have one away game left other than City.
Yeah, Bournemouth and City are the only away games.
Yeah, so it's at home.
Yeah, so the Brighton game is just going to be 90 minutes of, holy shit, we're in the semifinals of the Champions League.
Bournemouth's going to get rescheduled, right? Because right now it's the day before a semifinal.
Yeah, no, that one's getting moved. Apparently they have to move a whole bunch of games now.
Good.
Including ours. We will not be playing on a Monday and a Tuesday.
I don't know. I've played enough FIFA career mode that in my head that seems like a real possibility. But, God. Guys, we're in the semifinals of the Champions League. We're going to be playing Ajax in the semifinals of the Champions League. No one's going to want us to win this game except for Spurs fans. And presumably Real Madrid and Juventus fans.
And Dutch people who hate Ajax.
Yeah, them too. Are there Dutch people who hate Ajax? I would imagine so.
PSV fans, probably.
Probably. Feyenoord.
Yeah. Oh. Marcus Edwards.
Marcus Edwards might want us to lose, actually. Ben, things are great, right? I'm sorry. I just want to talk about how great everything is for another hour or something. This is so great.
Yeah, I don't know what will bring me back down to earth.
Like you said, Spurs could literally lose by 10 goals on Saturday, and I would not give a fuck. Like, it's incredible. Aaron Ramsey got hurt today. I mean, you know, everything's going great.
Oh, man. You know, Liverpool cruised into the semifinals of the Champions League. But why would you want to do it like that?
Why? Yeah, why do that when you can have a really exciting match against City?
Why do that when you can have 7 heart attacks in 90 minutes?
Well, they'll all be complaining they didn't get to play Porto in the semifinals anyway, so, you know, they'll get what they really want out of it.
What? Oh, they won 4-1 yesterday, huh? Did anybody on Earth watch that game?
I think Sid Lowe, because the Guardian sent him to cover it, but...
poor bastard.
Oh, I didn't check the Liverpool offside to see what extremely bitter tweets they had about our victory yesterday.
It's just like still photos from the VAR camera, right?
Probably just really condescending stuff about how they'd rather play us in the final anyway, but
I mean they probably would.
Yeah, shut up. Shut up, Rob. I don't know. This team is like held together with like twine and gum, and I love it. I hope we keep fucking.
Oh, honestly, the best outcome is Klopp losing in another final, but to us.
That is the best outcome. I don't know if I'm emotionally equipped for everything leading up to that outcome.
On a penalty drawn by Eric Lamela.
You know, it's funny, Ben, we were at that Checkers and having this conversation. I feel like I've had it 12 times with a bunch of different people since then about what remaining Champions League schedule am I best emotionally equipped to handle.
Yeah, I mean, Barcelona, I mean, losing to Messi is fine. Beating Barcelona is amazing because you beat Messi. It's just a better way to manage your ups and downs.
No one's going to make fun of you for losing to Barcelona.
Right. Barcelona fans, but who cares?
Yeah, they'll just complain about it anyway. So. But yeah, like everything up until the moment we win against Liverpool will be utterly excruciating.
I couldn't handle that. I hate them so much.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So the only snarky tweet I see from Liverpool offside is, the best part of Spurs getting a result here is how desperately they still need points against City on the weekend. No, which just isn't true.
No, that's so, very, very dumb.
Like, that's how desperately they need
us. Yeah, they need us to take those points more than we do. Although I will say, and there's part of me that I never want Spurs to lose, but I'd rather not see Liverpool win the title, if that makes any sense. But if we did get any points out of this match, the rest of the year gets a lot easier, a lot quicker.
Well, imagine if City paid for our transfer business over the summer with the money to throw the game.
Hey, man, I mean,
we're open for business.
Yeah, babe. Yeah, baby. I've read a lot about the Italian league. I know how this works. Buy us in Dembélé and you can have 3 points. I mean, honestly, let's let Middle Eastern soft power work for us for a change.
For once.
Yeah. I mean, you know, or let Liverpool buy us off, you know?
whatever it costs to get in Dembélé, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. I mean, like, in La Liga, they have those, like, maletas where they give teams who don't need the points briefcases full of cash to throw games or show up for games. And that's just totally common practice. I think we need to bring that into England. You know, our services are for sale to the highest bidder.
Now, this weekend's win-win.
Liverpool can spite over our performance.
This weekend's honestly win-win. Either we get points and make our ability to qualify for next year's Champions League a lot smoother, or we really fuck Liverpool. So, you know, either way, I'm kind of a happy camper. But, yeah.
God, it's like, this will be the equivalent of, like, if we put out, like, a shitty lineup because we don't care, Liverpool fans are going to react like the way, like, relegation sides do when, like, their relegation competitors get to play Man U rotating for a cup week or something, you know.
She'd be with, like, Parrott and Skip start, and Liverpool fans just completely lose their minds.
Liverpool lose the title because we don't take the match seriously. They will sue us. They will, like, file a fucking FA complaint.
I had forgotten how great. Right now, right? I had not considered this, Ben. You've made this much more appealing to me. Mauricio, make it happen. I know you listen to us.
Even better than the idea of us throwing this game is the idea of Liverpool thinking that we're throwing this game just to fuck with them.
No, if we do anything to, like, if, like, Dele Alli doesn't play, like, they're going to think that. So, you know, it's just, oh, it's so delightful, guys. It's just, I'm on cloud nine. Nothing can bring me down. It would be really funny if Ajax somehow manages to comfortably run through Juventus and Real Madrid and then somehow loses to us.
quite possible.
I mean, yeah, and I again, I want to emphasize, I think it is entirely possible, maybe even likely, considering our injury list right now, that Ajax beats us. But it would be really funny if we could.
But you know what?
Win.
You know who'll be even more mad about that? City fans.
Oh my God, that would be so funny. A lot of great angry City fan shots.
For spite and banter, like no matter what happens over the coming weeks, it's going to make so many other people upset that's almost worth it.
There are levels to this.
It's just industrial level banter, levels of banter coming out of Tottenham for the next few weeks. Oh my God, guys, it's incredible. I'm really like nothing's going to bring me down.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, you're going to be calling for Pochettino.
Oh, well, no, well, that's you, but yeah, I'll be close behind you. But yeah, it's pretty incredible. I hope we actually follow this amazing season up with the reinforcements we need in the summer. But that's not a problem for today. You know, making this week even better, we got our first bullshit press rumors that Eriksen might sign an extension with us in Marca. So, you know, I'll even take that. So this week just gets better and better. I hope Levy was, like, running down to the locker room to, like, get people to sign extensions as soon as that game was over. Toby, where are you?
Stay. I mean, God, we don't talk about Toby enough this season, but he has been such a rock. He's been so good.
Especially with Sanchez regressing a little bit.
It's just been so nice to see him come back into the team, you know, after the way last season ended, after the way the summer went. He's just been phenomenal, and I hope he stays. I really
no.
That looked like a shot, even 2 days ago, but and now I'm convincing myself that like he wants to be here enough that he'll make it happen.
No, I want Eriksen to stay. I want Toby to stay. I want my faves. I want my babies to stay for the entire career. It's gonna be. I love them all so much right now. Rob, talk about your beloved. Talk about Moussa Sissoko. We need a report from the Moussa Sissoko news desk. We haven't had one of those in a while.
His groin hurts, Greg.
Does your groin hurt when you think about Moussa Sissoko?
It does. Maybe his were the big balls that Pochettino was talking about.
They did start singing the song as soon as Pochettino started doing that. So.
I'm saying. Also, like, we got a lot worse when he went off the field. And mm-hmm. How many times this year have we had to say that? And how insane is that to consider?
I mean, Spurs should absolutely be looking to, like, upgrade on Sissoko. But if we can return him to, like, first-level backup next year, I'd be happy to have him back. That guy.
Imagine having him around but not actually having to rely on him game after game after game.
I mean, and I think it's, like, a real credit to Pochettino that he's gotten Sissoko to where he is. And I mean that both from a game planning standpoint, a tactical standpoint, and a motivational standpoint. Because we've seen other guys who either showed up fat or out of shape or weren't doing what Pochettino wanted, and he just sort of tosses them in the bin, and that's the last we ever hear of him. I mean, Sissoko did that, and he is, like, some of it by circumstance, but he has, like, really forged himself into a crucial player. And while we probably should be aiming to do better than him in terms of team construction, like, in the meantime, kudos to that guy. Like, I will buy you a drink if I ever see you in a bar, Moussa. I guess he doesn't drink, but, you know, I will buy you something if I ever see you walking the streets, Moussa Sissoko.
We would be a hell of a lot worse off without him. Which I think in more ways than one tells you everything you need to know about this season.
In every possible way, that tells you everything you need to know about the season.
Like we're in the semifinals of the Champions League in large part due to Moussa Sissoko.
Just like it was all drawn up, right, Ben?
That's right.
I mean, you could argue he's worth his transfer fee at this point. Like, or he is at least, like, given enough value to this team that it's not, like, a complete waste of money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, our Champions League earnings, you know, based on his performances have definitely, you know, recouped that fee. But you know, there's the opportunity cost of what might we have signed had we not wasted the money on Moussa Sissoko.
But would we love that? Would we love whoever that was as much as Moussa Sissoko? I think not.
Yeah. I mean, I really, I love how much everybody loves Musa Sissoko in the club. Like, when they start singing the song, when he, like, limps his way into the dressing room. It's
after
just, like,
only playing 20 minutes or whatever
like,
it was.
You just tell, like, everybody, you know, he's a hard worker. He seems very nice, you know, maybe a bit dim, but, you know, Harry Kane's a bit dim, and he's the best player to ever play for Tottenham Hotspur, so whatever. You know, but, like, they just all seem just genuinely happy for this guy in a way that, like, I can't imagine. Like, I have fucking shitty colleagues that drive me insane, and having to work with him day in, day out, watch them fuck up and eat shit and suck ass, you know, I don't think I would be that charitable.
About it this way. Like, if, like, they probably, Sissoko seems to be, by all accounts, a really nice guy, and everyone seems very likable. And if he's just, like, things are not going his way, you start pulling for that guy, and you know, you want him to do well. And then when it starts to go his way, which means it's starting to get better for you, you know, it's probably plays a big role in that.
Yeah. And then just everyone's just full of love.
It's you know why they're full anymore. Of love? Because they're in the semifinals of the Champions League.
Yeah, it's hard to have a bad attitude.
Is this the happiest episode of Wheel of Dealer Radio ever? I think so. I don't think we've...
It's such a loving.
By far the happiest episode that I've appeared on.
That might have something to do with you, Rob.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Even I'm gushing over this.
Yeah, imagine Eeyore happy.
The rain cloud has lifted.
Right now we're not going to lose any of our best players. We're going to sign one of the best. We're going to sign Lo Celso. We're going to, you know, the summer's going to go great when we're parading our Champions League trophy around London and the world. It's just going to be fucking everything's great. Everything's going to turn out well. You know,
spring is strong. We're all wearing our sunglasses.
Nothing bad will ever happen again.
Yeah, pass the cocaine. I mean, you know, let's keep this party going, guys.
Oh God, is Brian okay?
Oh God, I hadn't even thought about that.
Where is he tonight?
I think he's skiing.
Can't bring,
I think
can't
he's skiing.
Bring me down, Brian.
Well, guys, I can't wait to do a live podcast from Madrid with both of you, with all of you, with every Spurs fan in the world. I am so excited. I'm so happy. I love Tottenham. I love you guys. I love all of our listeners. I love everything. It's so great. Ben, you have any final thoughts?
No. I have nothing resembling thoughts. And
just
I
a big smile.
24 hours. Yeah.
Rob, any final thoughts?
I lots of thoughts, but not really any words at this point. We've left it all on the field here.
Amazing, amazing. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me giddy on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
Rob, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me posting photos of smiling corgis at Reno Wallabout on Twitter.
And you can find me posting lots of pictures of Fernando Llorente flexing on Twitter at Skipjack0079. For Ben, for Rob, for everything good and right in the world of Tottenham Hotspur, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Thank you all very much. We look forward to laughing very hard about our 10-0 loss to City over the weekend next week with all of you next week. Come on, you Spurs.